Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I am currently in my 60s and no longer as eager to tackle the heavy poundages as I once was in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my years. I have recently declared a quest for optimal wellness. You are invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or in our online groups. Today, I'm very honored to have with us Ryan Foley for Furion Strength. Greetings and welcome, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. I really enjoyed your message, and I'm looking forward to all you have to share today and why you chose cherry juice. That's one of my favorite fruits, cherries. So.
Okay, good. I'm more than happy to talk about it. So one of the things before we get going, so for a listener who may be new, I always try to approach these things as Stan Lee once said. Stan Lee always said, every comic is someone's first comic. And so you have to kind of introduce them into a bit of the story so that way they can jump in into the middle of it and still know what's going on. So for your listener who may be experiencing me for the first time, my name is Ryan Foley. I am an amateur bodybuilder in that I am primarily self-taught. A lot of it was through a lot of trial and error. Starting back, I made the decision in 2014 to really go through and improve my life. I had a little bit of exposure to weightlifting whenever I was doing sports in high school. I was a football player, but I wasn't very much of a basketball player or a baseball player. So where I went to school, if you didn't play basketball, you went to weightlifting. So we would do weightlifting Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and then we'd do plyometrics on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So that was my first little introduction into it. But it wasn't until I got into 2014 where I really started seriously studying the art and the science behind bodybuilding. And so it became a definite passion of mine. And so it's to me, bodybuilding is a sport that can go through and bodybuilding, resistance training, lifting weights. That sport can help improve all other sports. So no matter what sport you play, if you're going through and you're including weightlifting in your training, it's going to improve your focus, your ability, all those types of things whenever you're going through and working out in other sports. So now I'm a big proponent of what I call volume training. So it's kind of one of those things. I know whenever people think of bodybuilders, they think of, you know, these massive hulks that are going through and lifting this tremendous amount of weight, and they're in the gym for 4 hours a day. And while, yes, the professionals certainly do that, for your average gym goer, that's not really going to be that's not their goal. They're mainly, you know, they're trying to build, you know, a little bit of muscle. There's only 5% of the people in every single gym that's seriously attempting to get competition ready. And that's really not what I'm trying to do. I don't really have a tremendous desire to get up and stand on a stage in a little pair of Speedos. I'm nowhere near that level. But what I do like doing is improving my body through weight training, because that helps me out physically. It helps me out intellectually, and it helps me out emotionally. So I'm a big fan of volume training, which means your average gym goer, they go roughly, you know, 2 days a week, maybe three. And so they're in there and they're in there for, you know, maybe let's say an hour. So I'm more advocating of a person going anywhere from 5 to 6 days a week, but you're only, let's say, you know, for comparison purposes, say you're only in there for 30 minutes at a time. So it's a thing where I'm in, I'm out, And it's a thing where I'm going through and putting in an intense amount of work in a short period of time because I know I'm going to come back the very next day. I'm not going to sit around for 2 or 3 days and let my body heal up. I'm going back in over and over again. So the logic behind this is that if a person goes through and they're in the gym, let's say a little bit more than average, let's say that they're doing 3 days a week and I'm doing 5 days a week, over the course of a year, I've put in 100 more sessions at the gym than they have. And I'm kind of, I think whenever you go through and you're lifting weights, you'll find that you reach this peak. And then after that, that energy starts to fall off and you're not going to be nearly as intense. So I'm going in every single day and I guarantee that my first 15, 30 minutes that I'm putting in there lifting weights is going to be more beneficial than if I was only going 3 days a week and working out for an hour and a half at a time. That first 30 minutes that I put in is going to be more beneficial than that last 30 minutes if I'm only going 1 or 2 days a week. So I'm going through here and I'm putting in this volume training. And I'm also not lifting a tremendous amount of weight. It's much like you said in the opening of the show. I think a lot of people think that bodybuilders are going through and they're lifting this, you know, these incredible amounts of weight every time. But what I'm trying to do, and I think is probably the goal of the majority of people that are in the gym, is that they're trying to get rid of fat. They're not necessarily trying to get all big and bulky, or they're not trying to get, you know, tremendously muscular. So they're trying to get lean, and because I think that's probably the biggest thing is that everyone wants to lose fat. There's no one that goes, I'm fine with my fat levels. Everyone wants to go through and get rid of that. Well, so in order to do that, what I do is I engage in a different workout style that most people may not, you know, they may not think of it like this whenever they go in from an outsider looking in. So if you want to get really big and you want to get really strong, you're going through and you're lifting a heavy amount of weight for a small number of reps. But for me, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm trying to burn fat. So in doing that, what I do is I go through and I lift a lighter amount of weight, but I'm lifting it more times. And by going through and doing that, I'm engaging the muscles for a longer amount of time. I'm putting them under strenuous work. So there was an individual that I was having a conversation with. This was a couple of years ago, and he was an older gentleman, and I was explaining to him, "Oh yeah, you know, it's like come on up, and I'll put you through the paces, and we'll go through." And he's like, "Oh no, I can't lift those big heavy weights like you do." And it was a thing where it's like I'll work you out with a 10-pound dumbbell, you know, it's because we're putting in more of the work. So I think that's that general consensus from someone that's on the outside looking in. They think that we're going through and we're, you know, everyone's bench pressing 400 pounds, and that's really not the case. It's really more along the lines of I'll take 100 pounds and I'll lift it 10 times as opposed to the person who's doing the 400 pounds once.
Right.
But what I've discovered is that in doing this and by lifting a lighter amount of weight, I'm not putting nearly as much strain on each individual muscle group as I would be if I was lifting tremendously heavy. So for the athlete that's going through and trying to get tremendously strong, and so they're lifting this heavy amount of weight for a short amount of reps, they're going to go through and they're going to be able to do, let's just break it down to say a chest day. So they go through and they put in this heavy work into their chest. They can't come back the next day and do that same chest workout again because they've gone through and they've exhausted those muscles, and it needs, you know, roughly, you know, about 48 hours in order for you to recover from that. That's one of the big things that we'll get to is that recovery is so important in this whole thing. So what I've found is that working out lighter but doing reps that are, you know, somewhere around the range of 20 to 25 reps, it's just I like the aesthetics of it more, and I like the way it works for me. So because I'm not going through and spending, you know, hours of time and in the gym, I'm getting in and I'm getting out. And so this is also where one of the reasons why I like coming on here and talking is because what we're trying to do here is to elevate that person's gym IQ. Right. And so that way they can go through and they can adapt a program that's going to fit their lifestyle. For me personally, I'm very lucky in that I have the schedule now, especially with my daughter being out of school for summer break. I don't have to drop her off at school, so that gives me a little bit of extra time there in the mornings. I prefer to work out in the morning. I feel it's I have less chance of being knocked off track by, say, you know, having something come up that I didn't anticipate, or going through and you're just being completely drained through the stress of work and stuff like that. So I just thought, oh, I'm going to skip it today. So for me, working out in the morning is what works for me. Everyone's going to have to go through and find their own system. And so I'm a big proponent of volume training. I do think that that's the superior strategy, or at least that's what works for me. And so there are some people out there who may say, hey, you know, I can't do 5 days a week. I can't do 6 days a week. I don't have that kind of time. So this is where I can present the information that I have, and then then they can go through and adapt it to their own strategy. But me personally, I do like working out in the mornings. In fact, today I was up at my local gym. To me, the mornings are way less crowded, and there is something satisfying about getting up before the rest of the world. And, you know, so you're going in and you're putting your work in. It does. It makes you feel like, hey, all right, I'm getting out here and I'm doing something. And then the benefit of it was, I had the gym completely to myself today, so I could go through and I could do, you know, a little bit of experimenting without anyone looking at me. And it's like, oh, am I doing this right, or what do I need to do? So even though I've been at this since 2014, there's still plenty of stuff that I still need to learn, different strategies that I want to try to implement, stuff like that. So I'm going through here, and I believe that with my shorter workouts, I'm also coming at it with a certain level of intensity. I've talked in the past about how whenever I'm working out, I wear these big over-the-ear headphones that basically mm-hmm. just scream, go away, don't talk to me. I tend to be fairly focused. I'm not one of these guys that's in there that wants to chat in between sets. I'm not that guy that's up there, you know, scoping out the babes or anything like that. I'm in there to work, but then I'm also I'm under a time constraint because I have to get to work at a certain time. So I'm going through and I want to go through and get my stuff done. And so we went through segments there. I think everyone kind of experienced it, that COVID slump that we all went through. And especially when, you know, the gyms were closed, if you were someone that went to the gym and you had to kind of readjust your schedule to try to figure out how you were going to do it. So mm-hmm. I would go through here and well, I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. I was dealing with a little bit of a bout of depression. And so sometimes it was hard to get up out of the bed and go and face the day. You know, so I was like, let's stay in here and let's scroll through Reddit, you know, or something like that. And we'll take this day off. And then I would feel bad about that. So then I would go to the gym the next day. And I'm like, oh man, now I've got to make up for all this lost time that I did because I took the day off yesterday. And so then I would overexert myself whenever I was going in to try to make up for this time that I missed. And then as a result, so the next day I would be tremendously sore and my back would hurt and it'd just be, you know, not an injury, mind you. It was just, you know, that soreness that you get from working out. And so because of this depression, because of the soreness, because of all these different areas, I was like, okay, I need to stop. I need to take a step back and I got to tear this thing down. I got to tear it down. I got to start from the beginning. I got to get back to the basics because I'm sure you've probably experienced this yourself. You go through and you're doing all these different exercises and you're seeing all these different things. And then you'll see a guy in the gym and he's doing an exercise and you're kind of like, oh wow, I forgot about that one. I haven't done that exercise in a really long time.
Let's put
that back into the rotation because I haven't been doing that. You almost kind of, it almost seems silly to think that, oh well, I can't believe I forgot about this because you're so focused on stepping up to this next level. So you're doing these different exercises. And so sometimes you do just need to go back to the very common basics. And so So in order to go through and try to alleviate this soreness that I was experiencing, I didn't want to drop down on my intensity levels in my workout to keep from being sore. So I was like, okay, so let's start doing some research. Let's go to the internet. Let's go to the medical stuff. And let's try to figure out a way to alleviate that soreness so that way I can maintain this level of intensity. I don't feel as bad, you know, so whenever I'm getting up, because there is a very real thing that we will experience. It's called DOMS, D-O-M-S, which stands for delayed onset muscle soreness. And the strange thing is for me, whenever I would either lift heavy or lift extremely intensely, it seemed like it'd take anywhere from 24 hours to sometimes 48 hours for those DOMS to catch up with me. And I think we probably all experience this when we're doing, when it deals with our legs. Your leg muscles, they're going to be, they're longer and stronger, so you're going to push more weight, you're going to do more stuff. And we've all seen, I mean, I know I've experienced it where you're walking out of the gym and to get to your car, and you're like, oh, man, I need crutches, you know, because everything hurts. Just everything hurts. So I was like, there's got to be ways to go through and to start alleviating this. And so what I did is I came up with a list, and then I took an extremely scientific approach to this where I went through and started doing my tests, you know, to see over. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been doing this. And I have to admit, over the last couple of weeks, I feel great. So that's what I'm bringing to the table tonight, is the stuff that people can do in order to help alleviate that soreness so that way they can get back into it the very next day. Hang on a second. I'm going to grab just awesome. A quick drink. Okay, so the first thing that I kind of got away from, so I would always begin my exercises. I would always warm up with some cardio. No one likes cardio. I admit it. As everyone that's, oh, they think cardio is terrible. But we are in this tremendous technological era now where, so now I go up. Most good gyms are going to feature a Wi-Fi, you know, signal. So that's where I'll go through it and find a streaming service. And so I'll go through and I'll distract myself from the pain and the boredom of cardio. And so a lot of times what I do is I just do treadmill work. With my size and my frame, I'm not particularly, you know, I'm not going to be a marathon runner. That's just, I've got way too much bulk, you know, that I'm carrying around with me in order to do that. So instead what I use is what I call a serial killer walk, where it's I do a slower pace, but I do it at a higher incline. Because okay. If I were to go through and try to do a bit of a sprint, I'm only going to be able to maintain that sprint for a short amount of time, whereas I think I can burn more calories with a lower speed but a higher incline, so I'm working harder, but I can do that longer. And so, again, the goal is to go through and elevate my heart rate for a longer period of time so that way I can burn more fat. So yeah, so everyone always talks about cardio. It's a great way to start my workout. But one of the things that I forgot, or just, you know, I let it fall by the wayside and didn't do it for so long, so then it was time to bring it back in, and that was stretching. And so I've found that stretching is such a wonderful way to go through and close out a workout. There is certain medical evidence out there that says, well, maybe you shouldn't be stretching before your workout, which I know it seems kind of counterintuitive, because whenever we played football, that was always the big thing. You know, you started before you started practice or a game, you'd go through and you'd have these long stretching sessions. But so what they're saying now is that stretching at the end is going to be more, it's going to have more therapeutic results. So one of the things that I'll list, so again, because I'm using the internet for mm-hmm. so much of my information, I found a wonderful stretching routine that was laid out by John Cena, the WWE superstar. And so after we get done on here, I'll go through it and post a link in the comments to his stretching routine.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, yeah, hey, if you're going to learn, you might as well learn from the best. And John obviously right. knows what he's talking about. So it's, you know, going through and stretching out your legs and stuff like that. I tend to use a lot of those, the stretchy bands that people will see. I'll go through and use those to really pull on my chest and on my shoulders and on my lats just to go through. And because one of the things they talk about where if you work your chest so much, you can actually see where the shoulders will kind of start to round forward a little bit because you're doing so much heavy lifting. But by going through and stretching those muscles out, it's going to make your chest expand. You're going to feel a lot better. And so you're going through and doing that just to get all those blood flow back into it. But then also what I'll do is, so I've been doing the stretching, and then I've also been using the foam rollers. If your people aren't familiar with this, people, if you're listening, and so it's these cylindrical pieces of foam that you basically go through and you lay on top of, and you roll your muscles over the tops of these foam rollers. And so so years ago, I was really lucky. I got to go on vacation, and I went out to Vegas. And so while I was there, I'm not a big gambling guy, but I was there more for like, you know, just because everyone's always got to go to Vegas once. And so I wasn't really interested in sitting at the tables, but I was like, hey, wait a minute. They've got, you know, spas and stuff here. It's like, I'm going to go get a massage. It was the first time I had ever gotten a professional massage. And so I'm laying there on the table, and the therapist is working with me, and they go to start massaging the back of my head. And so, I mean, I just felt, you know, he was getting in there underneath my head. So I lifted my head up off the table, and he asked me if I had any neck pain. Thankfully, I didn't. And he said I was lucky because I was, you know, like maybe one out of every 10 people go through it and, you know, and say they don't have the neck pain. So then he explained to me what he was doing is he was actually using the weight of my own head to improve the quality of the massage. And so, yeah, I went through and relaxed and put my head back into his hands, and I could definitely tell the difference. So he's going through and he's working through, you know, the back of my head and my neck, and I was feeling fantastic. So the foam rollers, they utilize that same technique. So you go through, and I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but you just go through and you sit your butt, especially after you've been doing, you know, leg days where you've been doing like Romanian deadlifts. So you go through, you sit your butt on that foam roller, and then you start working it back and forth. And it's using your own body weight to be the massage element of that. That's what that foam roller is going to do. So you go through. So if you did a lot of hamstring work, you go through and you roll your legs on that foam roller. And so I didn't know until I went through and started figuring out the science of this thing. So, cause again, I'm all about the science.
Right.
So they say that, so what we have here, whenever you go through and you start using those foam rollers, it goes through and it activates what's called your parasympathetic nervous system. And so what we have, so we have the sympathetic nervous system, and that goes through, it controls our body during fight or flight scenarios. So whenever the action comes, it's what gets us ready to go. But the parasympathetic nervous system, that handles things like rest and digestion. So when you go through and you start using that foam roller, that parasympathetic system is starting to kick in, and it's letting you relax. It's letting you go through and you're using that massage to help go through and fix all those muscles. I mean, it would obviously be fantastic, and I wish I could go through and get a professional massage once a week. Oh, that'd be the dream, of course. If someone start a Kickstarter for me to have this happen, you know. But in lieu of not having a professional masseuse at my beck and call, so I go through and I use that foam roller. So just by going through and doing that, I found that, yeah, I mean, because there was one day, I mean, I went heavy on my legs. I mean, I was lifting, it was a lot of weight, and then it was a lot of reps. And then I went through, I do the stretching routine. I did the foam roller, and then I did, you know, a little bit of active recovery. And so as a result, I did not experience the DOMS in the days afterwards thinking that I would. So I went through there and used a term that I don't want to gloss over. And that's called active recovery. And so active recovery, the best way I know how to describe it for the drinkers out there, it's the hair of the dog. So you're going through and you're really sore from working out, and your initial inclination is, man, I'm just going to stay in bed. I'm going to rest. And that's one of the worst things that you can do. Instead, what you need to do is you need to get up and get around and get that blood flowing back into those muscles, those sore muscles, so that way to speed the healing and get you back up again. So a lot of times if you have gone through and you've decided to do, okay, I'm going to do a heavy, you know, chest day. So let's say for your active recovery, when you get back into the gym for that second time around, what you're looking for, okay, so whenever we go through and we work out, our body is developing something that's called lactic acid. And that lactic acid is the reason why we feel fatigue, because those lactic acid levels are going to increase the more that you work out and the heavier that you go. And so you need time to dump that lactic acid out of your system before you can go through and engage those muscles for a second time. So when we're talking about active recovery, what we're trying to do is we're just trying to get that blood flowing back into those muscles and hopefully carrying the nutrients that it needs, you know, into those muscles. So you want to do a level that's going to get the blood flowing back into them, but yet not so heavy that you're starting to generate lactic acid again. So the way I would look at it is my active recovery is going to average around half the weight for half the reps and half the sets. So if you go through and you bench press, let's say you bench press 150 pounds for 10 reps for four sets. So instead, if you just want to do a little bit of active recovery, maybe you do 75 pounds for five reps for two sets. You're just trying to go through and get that blood flowing back into those systems. And so by going through and adding in the cardio to get you started, the stretching to end it, a little bit of active recovery, and some nice foam rolling, that's going to go through and it's going to get you ready to go for the very next day. Those are the physical things that you can do in order to avoid this soreness. Okay. So, but then I kept digging in and so it was, okay, so what are some of the other things that we can do? And so the, one of the bigger things that we can do is a series of supplements. And so I know whenever people talk about supplements, they assume, oh, he's talking about steroids. And I'm not in the least bit. Everything I'm getting ready to recommend is all either natural or you can buy it at Walmart. And if you can buy it at Walmart, it's nothing absolutely illegal. So what I do, so I'm going through and I make myself a cocktail. And I try to get to this cocktail within a certain window of working out. So typically it takes me about 12 minutes to commute home. So after I go through and shut everything down to the gym, when I come home, that's the first thing I'm doing is I'm going to create this cocktail. And so it's just, it's real simple. It's water. It is branch chain amino acids, which you can get in powder form. Then I add in creatine and I add in glutamine. So all of these are all natural. So, so for instance, creatine, it's hyped to improve, you know, strength and power. It's supposed to stimulate all this muscle growth. And so this was like one of the big spooky things that was behind Mark McGwire's, you know, home run chase, all that sort of stuff. And so they sell all these different stuff and they say, oh, well, what this is going to do is this is going to make you stronger, because people think, oh, I'll just take this and I'll naturally be stronger. It doesn't really quite work that way. It's so they do sell these pre-workouts. I've taken them in the past, and at the end of the day, it gives you a little bit more energy. So, you know, maybe instead of getting 10 reps, you were able to get, you know, 11 or 12. Well, if you're doing more reps, you know, naturally you're going to get stronger, but it doesn't mean you could just take the stuff and boom, that's it. It's a miracle formula that you just take it and you automatically get strong. It doesn't work that way. But instead, what they've discovered here now is that creatine is medically proven to aid in post-workout. So there was a study in the European Journal of Applied Physiology that showed it reduced exercise-induced damage and soreness. So when you take it after, what you're doing is you're repairing this damage that you've been doing to your body, and it also helps with improving your body composition. But you only need like 5 grams. So it's the same way. So I'll go through all through that creatine in there. I throw in glutamine because glutamine is an enzyme that's designed to specifically keep you from developing that soreness. And then BCAAs, that's a fancy way of just saying branch chain amino acids. And typically we get our amino acids from food, steaks and good protein, stuff like that. But this is all in powdered form, and I'm putting it in the liquid. So then whenever I take it, I drink it, and it gets absorbed into my body very quickly. If for people that are out there, you could do a Google image search of Frank Zane, who was referred to in the bodybuilding community as the chemist. He was one of the first guys to really go through and promote the things like branched chain amino acids in order to improve your bodybuilding. And obviously you can take a look at him and you can tell he knows what he's talking about. And so one of the other guys on the internet that he was talking about, what he recommended was tart cherry juice. And so the tart cherry juice, it's designed to reduce the muscle breakdown, because we're lifting these weights, and what we're doing is we're actually doing these little micro tears in our muscles.
Right.
And when those micro tears heal, that's when you're going to get your size, that's where you're going to get the increase in your size. And as they're healing, that's what that soreness is this healing. So I may butcher these words, but we'll see if I can get through it. Okay, so the tart cherry juice has flavonoids and anthocyanins. I think I'm pronouncing that right. So anthocyanins, and that's what they do. They repair these muscle micro tears that we experience when we're doing this resistance training. Now, so I've just started taking this tart cherry juice within the last couple of weeks. And then I went through and I even got some tart cherry extract, which is just in pill form. So that way it's a little less calories. And so I went through and just got a bargain, a generic brand of the tart cherry juice. I think it was the Walmart, house brand that they have. And so I tried it. And when I took that first swig and I was like, this is pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
And then it hit me in the back end. And it was like, whoa, they weren't kidding when they're talking about this stuff being tart. So that would be my thing, is that if you want to go through and add this into your regular routine, and I would, because I mean it's a good juice for you to have. Just be real careful, because they say, this one serving. Yeah, you're only probably going to get about half a serving down, and you'll get that sense in your mouth, and you're like, okay, yeah, that's about all I can take of that. But I found that the more that I take that, the more that I like it. So I'm going through and I'm doing all this. And then, the old adage that they always use is that you can't outrun a bad diet. And, they're absolutely right. And so much of my diet is protein-based. They say it's supposed to be 1 to 2 grams for every pound of body weight. And so for me, I'm not a small individual. So, consuming in excess of 200 grams of protein a day is a monumental task to go through and do all that. So it's so much chicken. It's just so much chicken. But what they're saying, so now there was a 2016 paper, and they concluded that, 20 grams of protein is pretty much a sufficient amount. And that's a protein drink. So you can go through, so after your workout. Now, what they're saying is I can't remember if they called it the metabolic window or the anabolic window. It doesn't matter when you get your protein, as long as you have it. So it's not like you've got to immediately come home. You've only got this 30-minute window to chug this protein shake. It doesn't really work like that. As long as you're taking, protein at a fairly regular interval, you'll be fine. So what they've said is that 20 grams is a sufficient amount. And then if you ramp it up to about 40 grams, it does stimulate the growth a little bit more. But once you start to get beyond that, the body can only assimilate so much protein at any given time. Generally speaking, it's about 10 grams an hour. So if you go through and you have, a 30 gram, thing of protein, and it takes you 3 hours to digest, then you're fine. Anything over that, it kind of, starts to become a little bit of spillover. And so this is where, and this is when I talk about when I go through and lay out my diet, you know, whether I'm having, you know, the protein in the morning and I'm doing Greek yogurt as my, you know, as my mid-morning snack and then having chicken for lunch, I'm eating on a fairly regular interval. I'm eating, you know, every couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm trying to go through it, because I've got to consume this massive amount of protein, but I can only do it so much at a time. So you are pretty much eating just about all the time, it feels like. But what you're going to do, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to create a positive protein turnover rate. So you go through, you're working out, you're going to tear your muscles down, and that what that protein is going to do is that helps you build those muscles back. And so whenever you'll see, like if someone goes in into a hospital and they have surgery, whenever they come back out, the hospital goes through and they put them on a high protein diet because they know that that's going to go through and that's going to speed that healing. So right. we're doing those micro tears. So it makes sense. Let's go through. Let's start taking some more protein in order to speed that healing. So beyond that, and I know this is kind of one of those no-brainers, but hydration, you know, it is just water, water, water. I'm going through, I've got a big jug of water here that I've got whenever I'm talking to you. I'm, you know, constantly drinking up there at the office whenever I'm working. But what they said, so, think about it. If you go through and you're suffering from dehydration compromises your body's ability to synthesize all that protein that you're taking in,
right.
And that's going to raise, you know, your muscle breakdown rate. So not having water is compromising the muscle that you do have, and then it's going to prevent you from building new muscle. And muscle is like 79% water. So even a 5% deficit of dehydration can result in a loss in testosterone, which as guys, we all want to have, you know, those naturally high levels of testosterone. But whenever you go through and you're dehydrated, it can increase your body's cortisol levels, and the cortisol is bad. Cortisol is that stress hormone that can trigger the body so your body goes into panic mode. And so it can actually start retaining fat because it thinks that it's going into survival mode. So at the end of the day, it's kind of one of those things where you just, you know, it's drink, you know, and you don't have to consume not like 2 gallons worth, but just, you know, so I'm constantly trying to go through and put, you know, a little bit of extra water into the system. I will say that if you go from not drinking a whole lot of water to drinking the recommended 8 servings of 8 ounces per day. If you're anything like me, good luck going to the movies because you have to pee constantly. And that's what I tell people. I mean, I have the bladder of a woman that is 9 months pregnant. It's like, oh man, I got to go again. But to me, it's a good thing. So it's going through and it's flushing out your system. To go back and kind of recap everything that we've been talking about here. So you go through, you know, you get your cardio on and you're going through, you're doing your good stretches. You're doing that to loosen everything up. Do that foam rolling to go through and give yourself a little bit of that self massage to go through and get those muscles all nice and loosey goosey. If you want to take it to a much higher level, you can spend it. You will have to go through and spend a little bit of money, but I do think it's worth it by going through and doing those supplements of branched chain amino acids, the creatine, the glutamine, and then purchasing some of the tart cherry juice. And you can find the first three things that I mentioned, you can find those in the weight loss or the protein supplement aisle there. It's just about, I think, any Walmart's going to have them, so you can get them there. And then the tart cherry juice, I found that in the juice aisle. Then it's going through, and it's just a whole lot of protein to go through and help speed that healing. Drink that water. And then I know this seems like a little bit of a thing where it's like, oh, well, surely he doesn't have to tell us this, but we do. And so it's one of those things where as soon as you get home, you know, shower and change your clothes for all sorts of health reasons. It's kind of one of those things where you don't want to be, you know, that guy. And so you don't want to sit around in a bunch of sweaty clothes. It's going to cause you all sorts of skin issues, which is going to cause you, you know, more problems. So it's a thing where you go through, you get showered and refreshed. And then if you go through, if you're like me, you go through, you get the workout done, then you go up, you know, you shower, you shave, you're ready to face the day. You know, then you're going out and you're feeling good. And so don't get me wrong, when you leave the gym, you are going to feel, you know, down, you know, for whatever reason, because your energy levels are going to be real low. But then you come home, you get some protein, you get a shower, you get relaxed. And for whatever reason, the harder the work I put in the gym in the morning, the better I feel throughout the day. I don't understand it. I can't explain it, but it's just one of those things where, I mean, I'm ready to take on the world, you know, whenever I go through and start my day with a really good workout. So at the end of the day, as I've said, it's about that science. And so, and I think by implementing that science, that then allows you to develop a strategy. And so then once you go through and you implement that strategy and you start moving towards these positive goals, what this is going to do is, as what I've found is that I don't have time to foster the bad habits.
Right.
You know, I've got some of my friends, and I, God bless them, I love them to death. I'd do anything for them. If they called me at 2 a.m., I'd say, yep, I'm getting my shoes on. I'll be there in a minute. But unfortunately, they are crippled with the fact that they have an addiction. I'm very lucky in that I don't understand addiction. I suppose you could. I mean, could someone become addicted to the gym? I suppose they could. So it's. But for me, so I went through and I was looking at the 12-step programs that people go through. I was like, man, they kind of need to throw a 13th step in there. Not like I'm the greatest person when it comes to addiction or tell these people, hey, this is how you should do your stuff. But it's to me, they've gone through and they've done the scientific evidence that shows that people that are struggling with depression and mental health issues, by going through and putting them on an exercise program first, before going through and putting them on mind-altering medication, there is a phenomenal rate of people who start feeling better to a point where they don't need that medication anymore. Now, I'm not discounting medication in the least bit, because I know there are some people out there who they could exercise every day and they still feel those dark thoughts. And if that's the case, then yes, by all means, you know, seek out a professional and let them help you. But before we go through and we start jumping on these mind-altering medications, let's go through and let's try some exercise to start. And so what I found is that by going through and doing this, I decided to change my lifestyle. And so eventually you get to this point where you start seeing these improvements, and then you start figuring out, okay, what do I got to cut out in order to get to this higher level? So it's a thing where I'm not going to go out and get drunk 5 days a week, because that's going to compromise my gains for the next day.
Right.
So I'm not going to go out and get all faded and do a bunch of hard drugs and stuff, because, you know, I won't be able to go to the gym the next time. So one of the things that I always try to stress to people is that exercise is the cheapest antidepressant on the planet. Man, it's fantastic. And so by all means, if you're stressed from work, you know, go clang and bang. If you're having issues with your significant other, go clang and bang. If you're worried about your budget and your finances and all this sort of stuff, go clang and bang. Because I'm going through here and I'm doing these things to go through and improve my life. And so, as I mentioned in the beginning, just to kind of like bring it all the way back full circle, I'm up and I'm doing my cardio, and I've got Peacock on my phone, and so I'm watching old episodes of 30 Rock. So that way I can go through, I have something to pay attention to aside just watching, you know, the distance click by on the wheel there. And so I'm watching an episode of 30 Rock, and there's Jack Donaghy talks about this thing called the shower principle. And so basically what Jack claims is that there are moments of inspiration that occur when the brain is distracted from the problem at hand.
Right.
So, yeah, so I went through and I kind of looked at, and there was a paper out there that said, yeah, I mean, they kind of went through and they got a little bit of the wording later on in the episode wrong, but this is kind of, they're like, yeah, this really is a real thing. So if you're going through and you're having problems, go through and focus instead on the gym, even if it's just for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour. And then you may find that inspiration for that problem that you're having may end up solving itself in your subconscious, but it took you getting away from it and getting away from the world. And so that's kind of one of the things, not to nitpick, and yeah, everyone's doing their own thing, and I hate to kind of, like, you know, wag my finger at people, but I see these dudes and I see them on their phones when they're up there at the gym. And it's kind of one of those things. Now, if you're learning how to do an exercise, or you're logging your process, or you figure out what exercise you're going to do next, then by all means, yeah, go ahead. But for me, people know I've got my phone with me, but that's because it's playing whatever, you know, music I'm listening to or whatever podcast I've got on, and I'm wearing my big headphones, so no one will talk to me, because everyone knows that's my me time. You know, that's where I'm going through. I'm not answering messages. I'm not answering emails. I'm not worried about work, because I'm going through, and this is my time to go through and improve upon myself. And if I ever get to that point where I can't unplug from the network for an hour, I may have to do, like, some serious reconsiderations of what my life consists of, you know. So they go through, and that's the hour to my day. So for your listeners out there who are maybe, you know, hesitant or on the fence or still wanting to learn about, hey, how do we go through it and how do we do this? Or more importantly, why should we do this? That's one of the bigger things that I would bring to the table, is to go through and to do this for yourself. And by going through and implementing these strategies, it's that one thing that everyone's afraid of whenever it comes to the gym, and that's hurting the next day. And believe me, I understand it. I've been there, and so I'm doing everything that I can to go through and counter all this pain, or the soreness, I should say, the things I'm going through to alleviate this soreness, so that way I can get back in it and do it all again the next day.
Wow, a lot to think about there. I like cherry juice. I don't usually get the tart cherry juice. They have cherry juice that isn't as tart. I generally drink that, or I try to eat fresh cherries when they're available and frozen cherries when they're not available. I find that cherries is my preferred fruit for just about everything, even taking creatine.
And it's the thing where, I mean, one of the things that I've tried to explain to the best I can is that I'm basing a lot of this off, this is not my knowledge. I don't want to come in here and present like I'm the one that discovered this, because, I mean, clearly that's not the case. I'm standing on the shoulders of geniuses who are going through and laying out all these plans. But what I'll do is I'll go through and I'll see a variety of different, let's say, videos on YouTube.
Right.
And, you know, so they're doing their explaining. I'm like, okay, I like that. I'm going to grab that sample. You know, I'm going to go through, I'm going to grab this sample, and I'm going to turn this into my own program. So is there a difference between just regular cherry juice and the tart cherry juice? That's where I'm not smart enough to tell you, you know, nutritionally if there's a difference. I'm sure they probably both have the flavonoids. They probably both have the anthro – this word keep anthocyanins. Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
So it's a thing where it's but this guy, hey, you know, it looks like he knew what he was talking about. He was ripped. He said, "Yep, do the tart cherry juice." So I said, "That guy said it. All right, I'm going to agree with him."
And again, it's like you said earlier, it's experimentation. I experiment all the time. Like right now, I was doing the X3 and the pyramid sets, and I got to the max. I got the 12 reps with throughout my pyramid cycle, and I've been pushing the weights heavier. So now the new set of dumbbells I'm using, I can't do 12 yet. So I'll keep doing that until I get to 12, and then, you know, so on and so forth. But it became really difficult to do both the X3 and pyramid now that I'm into the heavier weights. When I was doing the lighter weights, it wasn't a problem. So I was thinking of giving the X3 a break for a little while. And this way, when I bring it back in, it'll be a fresh, you know, thing. I'll have a vacation from it. And I was doing the ketogenic diet for a while. And that worked very well until it didn't. And I started to develop gastrointestinal problems. So I had to, like, slowly reduce the amount of fats. I was getting skin problems, too, with the amount of fats that I was eating, and up the amount of protein. I'm still keeping low carbs comparatively, but I've introduced, like, fruit and nuts and things like that. So anyway, my gastrointestinal problems are getting much, much better as I introduce more simple carbs into the picture and less fats. But again, you learn by experimenting. You know, I've experimented the Atkins high protein type diet with old style bodybuilder pre steroids diets, and again, all of them work to a degree until they don't work anymore. Then you got to do something different. I temporarily stopped with BCAAs and the other thing you mentioned, not the creatine, the
glutamine.
Yes, I was taking those for a while, and I stopped. Then I started taking them for a while, and then I stopped. And I couldn't detect any, like, good or bad effects, you know, with the glutamine and I'm having a hard time remembering today, with the glutamine and with the other thing you mentioned. Yeah, the BCAAs. So I laid off for them for a while, and then I'll start them again and see. I do that with everything, and even with the creatine monohydrate, what I do is I cycle through it. So I'll take it for a while, then I'll lay off for a little while, then I'll go back on it again. And even though there's no evidence that is needed, there are some effects that some people have said with taking the creatine monohydrate that I'd like to avoid if possible. So I give my body a break from it every now and then.
Sure. And so, and again, this is where it goes back to the thing where I don't know. I suppose it's entirely possible that it could be a placebo. I don't think that it is, but in this case where over these last few weeks, I haven't felt nearly as run down. You know, it's like whenever you first getting up in the morning, and you know,
right.
And it's not an injury. So, you know, it's not that thing, but it's just like, oh man, you know, I got to get that blood flowing back into my back again. Or the soreness that I would typically would feel in my legs, for not to have experienced that. Now, what I haven't done is I haven't broken it down into a true scientific experiment where, okay, so let's do our control. I'll let me rephrase. I've done the control where I haven't done the stretching, the foam rolling, and then taking the supplements, and I knew I experienced soreness then. But what I haven't figured out is I haven't done a week where, like, let's just do the stretching and the foam rolling, or let's just do a week where I'm just doing the supplements and see if that, you know, elicits a different reaction. And it's entirely possible. Maybe it is 90% of the foam rolling and the stretching, and maybe it's only that little 10% of the glutamine. It's entirely possible. But, I mean, I have noticed that difference. See, so now you got me thinking. Now I may have to go through and do a couple of weeks where I do lay it off and then do the study to see which works best for me.
There's nothing wrong with a placebo. Like, I'm convinced at this point that the protein shakes are placebos because I've discontinued them for weeks. And again, it's something bodybuilders do. So I've been doing it and trying out different protein powders. And again, putting glutamine and BCAAs and all sorts of arginine and, you know, all sorts of supplements in the shake. And I was having two shakes a day for a while. And then the thought occurred to me, what if, you know, it's a placebo? And initially it's that it doesn't really matter as long as it's reminding me that I'm a bodybuilder and I'm bodybuilding. And, you know, if it's a placebo, that's okay. And then I just started wondering, well, you know, if it's a placebo, fine. But if it's a placebo, I'm spending lots of money on it.
Right. So that's you got a problem. And that's kind of one of the things where I've always tried to warn people is that everyone's trying to sell you something. You know, so if they're claiming that this is going to happen, yeah, they're trying to get you to buy something. Whereas I'm getting, you know, I don't have no glutamine. Big glutamine isn't going through and paying me to say any of this. This is all just stuff that I've experienced from my own personal use.
And that's what this show is really all about. It's that people are striving for something similar, which I'm calling a mythic physique, but, you know, you can call it a bodybuilder's physique, you can call it, you know, whatever you like, but it isn't for competition. It's, you know, because that's what your self-concept is. You know, that's what you're using your creativity for, and, you know, that's the type of body you'd like to have for whatever reason. And everybody associated with this series is sharing their journey and sharing their discoveries. And so it's exactly perfect what you're doing because you've been very generous with sharing your journey for all its ups and downs and also the benefits that you've derived from certain things. And we let people know that not everything works for everybody. And even if something works for you, it might not work for you at a later point. But for now, yes, share your experiences. When it stops working, to share that too. It's a journey. We're all taking the journey together. We all have responsibility, you know, for what we're doing, and that's what this is all about. And I'm really, really honored to have you on board for this adventure.
Well, I'm glad that you've given me a forum here to reach out, and even if I'm only helping a small handful of people, that's absolutely fantastic and fine by me. Anything that people can learn from this, that's my hope, is that we've gone through and we've elevated people's gym IQs so that way they can start to adapt their own programs, and that way it can continue to radiate outward. So what they discover, they can share, and there's a pretty good chance that by the time they're going to start finding new stuff, that will circle back to me, and then I can learn from them as much as they've learned from me.
That is awesome. And what you mentioned earlier, too, about how sometimes you wonder why you stopped doing something, so you wonder about integrating again, that happened to me this week, too, as I was contemplating, like, dropping the X3 temporarily. And I remember that there were two programs I did years and years and years ago that I was pretty happy with. One of them was called Positions of Flexion. And the other one was called body sculpting. So I remember when I did those, I was really happy with them. So I'm going to try to look through my boxes in the basement, see if I can dig them up, and maybe give them another chance.
And sometimes you go through, and knowing what you know now, looking back on those, you may find an even better way to implement them with the information that you've gained between now and then.
Like with the X3, I learned on the basic exercises that they gave you with the course, and they have lots of videos you can watch and things you could learn about. And then they started giving supplemental exercises, you know, variations of exercises, and I watched those. And then after a while, it's like I know the basic bodybuilding principles, so I started making my own adaptations. And within a couple of months, I developed my own routine, which worked exactly for me. So with everything, too, as you experiment, like the pyramids, they've evolved since you first mentioned me and I tried them out. I was doing the 5-rep things going up and down the pyramid.
Right. Uh-huh.
Then I started increasing the reps, decreasing the amount of time it took me to do a rep, and slowly pushing the poundages up. Oh, wow. We really have 90 seconds.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's one of these things. This is something that I am tremendously passionate about. I'm glad that I've managed to fight my way through the COVID slump, and hopefully I'm on my way back to getting back where I was before the whole COVID crisis.
I know that you will, and how can people contact you?
The way that you promote it on Facebook is the absolute best way. I'm horrible at self-promotion, so the way that you put me out there is the best way to find me.
Thank you so very much, Ryan. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, especially about a topic we're both passionate about. And I want to have you on as a guest on one of our creativity shows to talk about what you've been doing in that arena, because I know that you've been active there as well, and you have a lot of projects that were on the table at one point.
I'd be more than happy to do that with you.
Thanks again. Have an awesome day. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you listen to us live or whether you'll be joining us later on demand. There are portals on Facebook. And just look for Ryan Flexing and go to the link and you can experience the show. Take care, everybody. And thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you.